Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Welcome to First Bite, the Pride of Detroit, Detroit Lions preview podcast, where we look at the Detroit Lions upcoming matchup, break it all down, and use the opponent's point of view to figure out what's going to happen on Sunday. And we're never wrong, so this is valuable information for you, the listener. By the way, my name is Jeremy Reisman. I'm the managing editor of Pride of Detroit. I'm your host for First Bite, and with me this week is Ryan Matthews. At Ryan_POD, co-hosting this week again. Ryan, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing phenomenal. I've officially gone back-to-back now.
You have. And so have the Lions.
And so have the Lions. Look at that. Well, wait, what do you count the first one? Is that like a half a back or?
Well, yeah, sure. Half, okay. Half a back to back to back.
Sounds good to me.
All right. And giving us the opponent's point of view, and of course, the Lions week four playing the Kansas City Chiefs in a battle of unbeatens. We've got Ron Kopp over at Arrowhead Pride with us tonight. He's at Ron_Kopp on Twitter. Ron, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How about you guys?
Very, very good. Very excited for this matchup this week. I'm not sure anyone assumed this was going to be the week four matchup of the week. Not necessarily that it is, but it's a battle of undefeateds. And it's an opponent that neither team really gets to see that all that often, only four times, once every 4 years, I should say. But definitely an intriguing one this week. And I want to jump right into it, Ron. Let's talk the Chiefs offseason, since we're still pretty close to the offseason. I've never seen an offseason so clear in its goal. And we talked to other guys in previous weeks, and it seems like the Chargers kind of stood pat a little bit. The Eagles kind of stood pat. The Chiefs did not stand pat this offseason. They knew their defense was not so good last year, and they went all out to fix it, getting a new defensive coordinator, getting a whole new slew of defensive players. Why don't you just kind of recap it for me? What was the goal specifically with this defense this offseason? Was it to improve the pass defense, the run defense, everything, just overhaul everything? And how has it worked so far?
Yeah, well, when you have a performance like last season from the defense, I mean, something has to change. Most Chiefs fans would agree that it was a little overdue. Bob Sutton needed to go. So brought in Steve Spagnuolo after a year of him just being off, not doing anything. Comes in, brings his 4-3 defense. So we sign, you know, Alex Okafor, Tyrann Mathieu, Damian Wilson, Bashaud Breeland, and Darren Lee. Those are all contributing defenders, and you know that's a pretty big overhaul for a contender. You don't really see that much in the NFL. You know, a team that went to the AFC Championship was one play away, really, from going to the Super Bowl. Completely overhauling their defense, and yeah, they brought in those free agents and also made a blockbuster move, trading their first round pick away, getting Frank Clark, paying him the big money. So yeah, I mean, we have. You know, half of our defense, new starters, mostly, you know, in the front seven, also, you know, a couple in the secondary as well. And yeah, no, the defense, so far it's been looking good in the off season. And then we got the draft picks, to contribute to the defense. Juan Thornhill, the safety from Virginia, we picked him in the second round. He's been the starter from day one, from week one. He wasn't the starter in the preseason. Daniel Sorensen, the veteran safety, was kind of playing over him for a little bit. But, yeah, Thornhill's in now. So, yeah, this defense is overhauled. Steve Spagnuolo's vision, what he wants to do. You know, he's an aggressive guy. He wants to you know, throw pressure packages in different ways. And he's definitely got that personnel with Frank Clark, Okafor, Chris Jones in the middle. And so, yeah, he's been getting creative so far with that.
Well, it's interesting we start with the defense because it seems like the only story that anybody wants to talk about is the Chiefs offense. And I am, first and foremost, to all respects to you, Ron, I'm the biggest Patrick Mahomes fan that there is in the entire world. I actually, even in our Lions preseason predictions, where I usually take a magic eight ball and I ask really silly questions, but I even offered to one day maybe legally let Patrick Mahomes adopt me, but I don't know if you can adopt somebody who's older than you. I don't know what that means. But anyway, so let's talk about the Chiefs offense, right? So I mean, this is where, I mean, we unearthed a little stat today at Pride of Detroit. The Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes as their starting quarterback has never scored less than 26 points. Wow. Right. And then losing a guy like Kareem Hunt, I think that there are maybe some question marks about whether or not the offense would be as quite as electric, quite as effective, quite as efficient. I think all of those doubts have been silenced. How have the Chiefs been able to maintain that type of electric play on offense so far this season?
Well, it's going to sound crazy, but all offseason, you know, in training camp, you know, we're watching Mahomes throw it around. We're kind of saying, hey, he looks better than he did last year. And, you know, it kind of said tongue in cheek, you know, maybe, we're kind of joking around when we say it, but hey, he's coming out. I mean, I do believe he's playing better than he did last year, and he's still leaving some plays on the field. You know, he's not perfect. He's missing some throws, but it's really Mahomes. I mean, he's playing at an MVP level. He did not drop off at all. There's no regression at all. I mean, statistically, maybe a little bit in some areas, but yeah, Mahomes is playing great. And I think him and Andy Reid, they're just a perfect marriage. I mean, they understand each other. They're always bouncing ideas off each other. And you can tell Andy loves having a quarterback like Mahomes, and he's just giddy. You know, he's excited to have Mahomes, and they've really been connecting well, and you can see it on the field, obviously.
Yeah, and it's interesting you say all that because Matt Patricia this week said he's noticed pretty much the same thing, that Mahomes actually looks better this year. He looks like he's more comfortable in the pocket. And like you said, statistically speaking, he looks even better. He's I think his passer rating is 20 points higher than it was last year. It's like 134 or something crazy like that so far. Sammy Watkins, let's talk about him for a second. He's the number two wide receiver in the NFL right now with 311 yards. He's finally the guy that Lions fans fell in love with in draft season. What has it been with Sammy Watkins that has kind of been a revelation this year? Is it health? Is it that, you know, just developing a chemistry? What's made him so special? Is it the fit in this offense?
You know, it's definitely a little of everything you said. One interesting thing about Sammy this offseason, he preached to the media whenever he had the chance that he trained different this year. He's feeling better. He feels like a different person. I guess there were some different training methods he did that he used to really work on just leg stuff and really just making sure his foot doesn't get injured again, because that's really been the recurring injury for him. He's proven that he's been right this offseason, saying that things are different. He looks faster, straight ahead speed, but also just quicker in his cuts. I mean, his cuts look dangerous. I mean, he's making defenders look silly. And, I mean, you saw it that first week. I mean, you're going against one of the better secondaries in the league, and he tore him up, you know, without Tyreek taking away targets from him. Yeah, he slowed down a little bit the past couple games, but I would not say it's because, you know, of him. I think the offense is just kind of getting the ball to the spread of receivers. But, yeah, he's playing super well. I'm really impressed, and I think it's the best he's looked as an NFL player in his entire career.
I think the one last question that I have about the offense, because I'm obviously most enamored with this because we have my big beautiful boy, Patrick Mahomes, under center. But I think this is kind of a connection that I'm drawing to the Lions themselves, is the Lions have really kind of spread the attack around each week. First week, it was TJ Hockenson. Second week, you know, the Lions got a little bit balanced, but it was the Kenny Galladay show. And then the third week, it was Marvin Jones. So the one thing that the Lions really haven't been able to do, and the one thing that they want to do on offense, is establish the run. And Kerryon Johnson's kind of had a slow start. The offensive line seems like it's still trying to kind of gel together as one unit. What about the Chiefs running game? You know, they lost Kareem Hunt. They went into the season with Damian Williams, and then all of a sudden LeSean McCoy was a late cut in camp, added to the team. What's going on with the Chiefs offense in terms of their ability to run the football?
Well, you know, it's funny. I just kind of wrote about this yesterday. They are running at a yards per attempt rate, the worst Andy Reid has had in his 7-year career as a Chiefs coach. 3.8 yards per carry, I think it's 23rd in the league. And you can see it. I mean, it's not as effective as it was in previous years. I don't think it's necessarily because of talent. You mentioned before losing Kareem. I don't think that was a huge loss. He's a great running back, don't get me wrong, but Andy Reid just knows how to scheme around that. But, yeah, you mentioned LeSean McCoy. He has been a great pickup. I mean, I can't believe some fans were questioning that decision. You know, I know, he's not what he used to be, but, geez, I mean, you see those cuts. You see his speed still. His just vision. I mean, the vision he's had on zone runs, just hitting the seam and going. It's been really impressive. And honestly, I think he might take over the lead at running back sooner than later. I think Damian Williams might get, become more of a complimentary back, especially with the rise of rookie Darwin Thompson. He hasn't got much show in the regular season so far, but he did flash in the preseason. You know, he's a receiving back. You know, he's going to make you miss an open field. And also Darrell Williams. He had a great game against Baltimore. I think he was one of the – he had like a – on a run, he was one of the fastest miles per hour-wise. I think Next Gen Stats had that, which I was totally surprised about. I think he ran a 4.7 40 when he was coming out. This running back core, losing Kareem, I think most Chiefs fans have forgot about it, and I think the staff has too. This running back core is looking good.
There's just so much speed on that offense at every position. It's hard to imagine any team being able to stop it, which – pretty much has happened. No one has been able to stop them. But I want to move back to the defense here. You guys lose Eric Berry this offseason. Who has kind of emerged as the leader of the defense so far? And we'll get to some of the struggles they have in a minute. But I'm just wondering who's like the one guy on that defense that everyone needs to pay attention to?
Well, I will give you two guys, and it is the two big signings from this offseason. Frank Clark and Tyrann Mathieu. You know, you go out to training camp, you saw them. They were vocal. You know, they were making players better. They were really just leading by example, leading by, vocal. They're playing, Frank Clark has not been as productive as, most people would like from a guy that just signed that big of a contract this offseason. But he's definitely making a big impact on the game. He's drawing double teams, even triple teams sometimes, opening up pass rushing for other pass rushers. So yeah, I definitely say the vocal leaders, the leaders in the locker room for the defense on the personnel side, the player side at least, Frank Clark and Tyrann Mathieu, they're really embracing that role.
And let's get to the elephant in the room here, the one Achilles heel I would say of this Chiefs team in general, the run defense. They're giving up 6.2 yards per carry. That's worst in the league. They're 32nd in run defense DVOA. Logic has it that the way to stop the Chiefs is to keep Patrick Mahomes off the field, and the way to do that is run the ball. And so the fact that this seems like a big Achilles heel, and teams have tried it a little bit, but the Chiefs are still winning, how does that manage to work? And what's going wrong with the run defense? Is it a big concern of yours since they're still winning anyways?
You know, I would say it is a concern, a big concern, but like you said, it doesn't seem like teams that want to use that game plan of keeping Mahomes off the field and turning up time of possession. It just doesn't seem to work for whatever reason. The Ravens tried to do that this past weekend, and, it was a close final score, but the score was 30-13 at one point. There were some very lucky plays down the stretch that kind of got it close. I wouldn't say lucky, I guess. The Chiefs defense just needs to make some plays. But, yeah, the run defense, it's shaky. Chris Jones, he's a great player, but he tends to go rogue on run plays, just kind of leave his gap to make make his own play, and it kind of, leaves a wide open gap. And, the linebackers have been playing well, it looks like, at least. Hitchens and Wilson, I think they've been impressive to me, but it just doesn't seem like it's resulting to, good yards per carry numbers. And, yeah, they've definitely been run on this year, but hey, hasn't mattered yet. And I'm hoping that we keep masking it with this offense.
All right, I think it's time to move to the injury report. It's Wednesday when we're recording this, so we're just getting the initial injury reports here. There's really only a couple that I want to focus on this week. The Chiefs had three guys miss Wednesday's practice. Let's start with Eric Fisher, the left tackle there. Obviously, I think the strength of this Chiefs offensive line is maybe on the right side. Mitchell Schwartz is having a heck of a career. But what does the loss of Eric Fisher mean if he can't go today, and how did his backup play last week?
So, yeah, Fisher, he had core surgery, something up a little bit. So they are throwing in Cam Irving. If you guys remember, first-round pick for the Cleveland Browns 4 years ago, I think. He started at left guard most of the season last year. And he probably was about average, maybe a little below average at that position. But now we have Andrew Wiley in there. So Irving's playing left tackle, filling in for Fisher. That first week against the Raiders, his Pro Football Focus had him as a really high passing block grade and a really low run blocking grade. And you could see it in the film. He definitely was protecting Mahomes pretty well, more impressively than I would have thought. And then, this past weekend, he gave up a few pressures, but I didn't think he was as bad as some people are making him out to be. I think he's actually been filling in pretty well, but nothing compares to Fisher. He's just been a solid player on that left side and protecting Mahomes' blind side. We definitely need him back sooner than later.
And the one other injury that it seems like the Chiefs obviously are able to kind of work their way through without even a hiccup, because they have players who are playing to the level that they are, like Sammy Watkins. We haven't even really talked about Mecole Hardman, who is one of my guys that I told all of my buddies who I wasn't in fantasy football leagues with to draft, and is clearly producing at a level that is no shock for an Andy Reid offense. But the loss of Tyreek Hill for a few weeks, is that something that the Chiefs are really feeling the effect of, or are they able to kind of just move on without a hitch, like I mentioned?
Well, I do think they're feeling the effect of it. You saw it in the Oakland game. I mean, we scored all those points in one quarter, but we were shut out for the other three quarters of the game. I think Tyreek's just overall ability. I mean, not only is he a deep threat anymore, he's just a great receiver overall. He can go catch a contested catch, all that. I mean, yeah, I think they're really missing him. But I think Andy Reid's just doing a great job of game planning, getting Mecole Hardman in situations where he doesn't really need to be the greatest receiver. He just needs to be someone who gets the ball in his hands and runs fast the other way. He's ran some good routes for sure on those deep posts against Oakland. But like this last weekend, that touchdown he had, I mean, just he had no one around him, just caught it and sprinted. He didn't even tuck the ball away. He just held it like a baseball or something. And I think they definitely want him back. They're missing him, but I think Mecole Hardman is coming along a lot faster than most people would have assumed. And that speed is for real. I mentioned it in an article earlier. I think he looks like a rookie year Tyreek Hill, maybe not the same dynamicism. I mean, Tyreek Hill, as soon as he came in the league, was special, but he looks like that speedy guy that doesn't really have it quite yet as a receiver, but he'll get it down, I'm sure, working with Andy Reid and Mahomes, and he's just going to keep getting better and better.
All right, that will do it for the injury report. We're going to take a break here, and when we come back, we're going to talk about this specific matchup and how each team will counter each other this week. Will we get in a shootout? Will we get into one of those weird low-scoring, like Super Bowl-ish games? We'll see when we come back on First Bite.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. so you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Wow, that guy means business.
Just an amazing player.
No, not him, the sports photographer behind him.
What?
He has a business bank account with QuickBooks Money where he earns 5% annual percentage yield. So he's scoring big on and off the field. You might even say he's the MVB.
MVB?
The most valuable business.
Making your money work harder. That's how you business differently. Intuit QuickBooks. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank. Member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Welcome back to First Bite, our preview Detroit Lions podcast for SB Nation's Pride of Detroit. We're here with Ron Kopp from Arrowhead Pride, giving us the lowdown of the Kansas City Chiefs for this week's matchup, Sunday at 1 p.m. at Ford Field. If you're going to the game, guys, be loud, be proud, because this team's undefeated in week four, and we don't get that very often, a battle of undefeateds in week four. So enjoy that, but let's get into the matchup again here. Ron, I want to talk about a specific game, and it's probably not a game you're eager to talk about too much, but I want to go back to the AFC Championship game in 2018, Patriots versus Chiefs. Obviously, the Patriots win that game in overtime, but I feel like it's an important data point for this game. I want to know basically how the Patriots defense did in this game. I mean, obviously, I think they gave up, 31 points, so it's not like they completely stopped Patrick Mahomes or anything, but obviously, the Lions are going to be bringing a similar type of defense to this matchup. How do you see that working out based on how things worked out back in January?
Well, Andy Reid definitely has a good history going against Bill Belichick defenses. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just go back to, I think the last three regular season matchups have all been 40-plus points by the Chiefs. So you see that history, and then you look at the AFC Championship game. Offense gets shut out in the first half. Not a single point. Couldn't really get anything going. That definitely had something to do with Tom Brady being able to just control the clock and keep the ball away from Mahomes in the offense. But you saw in the second half, they made adjustments. They even admitted it in the media. They have admitted it since in the media that, you know, they should have adjusted earlier. You know, they were just taking away stuff. Bill Belichick was, at least. And once they made the adjustments, though, they were just as explosive as ever. You know, putting up 31 points in the second half, or 30 points, excuse me. So, yeah, no, I'm excited for this matchup coming up with Detroit. You know, as a Chiefs fan, if it's going to be a similar Patriots defense, I'm pretty confident in Andy Reid being able to scheme up against them and, you know, execute what he's got to execute. But, you know, either way, it's going to be a tough defense knowing, you know, Bill Belichick's defenses are good. And, you know, I'm sure Patricia has brought that over to Detroit. It seems like it, at least this year. He's brought it over with some good defensive performances so far. So, yeah, I'm excited for this matchup. Offense, Chiefs offense versus Lions defense.
Yeah, and it's kind of an interesting matchup in that I think a lot of people, including myself, look to the Lions-Rams game last year. You know, there's this unstoppable force in Jared Goff and Sean McVay coming to town against a lowly Lions team that's kind of on their last leg. The Lions obviously don't end up winning that game, but they put up a pretty good defensive performance, and one that Bill Belichick even admitted he kind of used when they played the Rams in the Super Bowl. So it's kind of interesting to note that the Patriots defense kind of had the Chiefs number for that first half. You kind of wonder if maybe Matt Patricia comes out with a good game plan this week. The question is, how long will it hold up? Because, like, as you mentioned, the Chiefs kind of got the Patriots number there in the second half. Ryan, what are you looking for out of this Lions defense in terms of any way to potentially stop Patrick Mahomes? Because if there is a way to do it, I'm not sure anyone has seen it yet.
I wish there were an answer, and it's not just because I'm so infatuated with the man, but I'm really wondering what the Lions can do. And I think from what I was able to glean from watching the Philly game and seeing some of the stuff that, you know, our own website has put out, Andrew Cotto, you know, he did work on the offensive side of the ball, but looking at the Lions defense specifically, it seems like the secondary is in a really good spot, right? The secondary is, what, third in the NFL in pass breakups?
Yep.
Rashawn Melvin has fit in really well into the secondary. Justin Coleman seems like he's really just worth every single dollar that the Lions had spent on him. And I know we're only 3 weeks into the season, but we're allowed to speak in hyperboles because the Lions are 2-0-1. But one of the guys who has drawn a lot of ire so far has been Trey Flowers. And it's been the defensive line, and we've kind of talked about this on the podcast a little bit, is their inability to really generate any pressure. Now, whether or not Deshaun Hand is going to be back this week, he was at least doing a little bit of practicing today on Wednesday in terms of things that were available to the media. But I think if there's one way to maybe stop Patrick Mahomes is to put pressure on him, because I think that that's really the recipe to stopping any quarterback. And if there was anything the Lions made a concerted effort to do this offseason, it was to improve their defense, and specifically going out and signing a guy like Trey Flowers, who seems like he's slowly working himself back into game shape after being on the PUP for a little bit, you know, missing some time in training camp, and, you know, effectively like not doing a whole lot in the preseason. You have that going on with Snacks Harrison too, and, you know, A'shaun Robinson has kind of been like the Lions' best defensive lineman, I think, so, you know, through 3 weeks. And I think that once those guys kind of work themselves into play shape, hopefully it's week four, because if there's going to be a way to stop Patty Mahomes, I think it's going to be by way of the pass rush. I don't know, Ron, what do you think?
I totally agree.
Tell us how to beat Patrick Mahomes.
You have 10 seconds.
No, I totally agree with what you're saying. You know, if there's going to be a way to get to Mahomes, you gotta pressure him. Him and Andy Reid have been proven to pick apart coverages. But, you know, you can't pick apart coverage if there's a defender in your face. So, getting to Mahomes is definitely going to be the key for you guys. And, hey, you know, we have a backup left tackle in the game. You guys have a couple of good edge rushers coming off the edge for you guys. So, I definitely think it's a worry for the Chiefs. I think you guys could definitely able to get pressure on Mahomes. Our interior line is young, besides the right guard, the Canadian doctor. The left guard and center are both young guys, both second-year players. I believe they were both either late draft picks or undrafted free agents. And, you know, they've been good for us so far, but they definitely have their weaknesses. So with that loaded interior line you guys got as well, I definitely think there's a way you guys can get to Mahomes. And I think it should be a point of concern for Reed and the offense this week when they're game planning.
And Jeremy, don't you think that the Lions defense, if they're going to struggle any sort of way, it's going to be thinking that, and maybe not thinking that, but maybe relying on some of the ways that they were able to generate quote unquote pass rush in previous weeks. It was really a lot of like coverage sacks.
Yeah.
And well, yeah. I'm a little bit worried that going into this week, like, you know, Rana just mentioned, Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, they're going to figure out ways to beat coverage. And I'm concerned about that going into this game.
Yeah, and you absolutely should be with basically any game plan against Patrick Mahomes. And I think we always kind of, with Matt Patricia specifically, we talk about his plan to contain over pressure sometimes. And I think this is a game in which you might see that, unfortunately. It might get frustrating for Lions fans because you want to also contain Patrick Mahomes because he's just as dangerous with his feet. As Matt Patricia said this week, he's just as dangerous out of the pocket and crazy accurate out of the pocket. So I think the Lions are just going to want to keep him contained in the pocket. And that means getting pressure up the front. And that leads me to my next point, which is the Lions have two key injuries on defense this week that could very much impact this matchup. The first being Mike Daniels, one of the guys that could bring some of that pressure up the middle. Deshaun Hand kind of plays into that as well. We're still not sure his factor in this game, but we need to talk Darius Slay because left last game with a hamstring injury and I would say questionable at best this week, limited in practice. I mean, you talk about all the speed on this Kansas City offense. Darius Slay is one of the few guys outside of maybe Justin Coleman, as we talked about a little bit earlier, that has the speed that potentially to keep up with him. But even if Darius Slay can go, I think a hamstring injury is just about the worst kind of injury that could be lingering against this Chiefs offense. Am I right?
Oh yeah, definitely. I honestly did not realize he had a hamstring injury. I was looking forward to a Darius Slay versus Sammy Watkins. I don't know if he travels particularly with the number one receiver.
He does,
but yeah, I mean, he does. Yeah. So yeah, that's a big loss, or a big, you know, if he plays, that's still a big hampering to the defense. And I'm sure Andy Reid is looking at that and seeing what he can do to take advantage of a hobbled corner. But either way, I mean, Slay is such a good player. I'm sure he'll find a way to still make a big impact on the game in a positive way for the Lions.
Yeah, and we've seen him kind of battle through injuries there out on the field. He doesn't miss a lot of games, but we do see him kind of fight through injuries a lot. I'm just interested to see if the hamstring injury is going to bother him enough where, you know, he's a half step behind where he would normally be. And in that case, a half step is everything against Patrick Mahomes, who you give an inch, he'll take a mile. But let's stop talking about Patrick Mahomes. Sorry, Ryan.
Why?
because I need to talk about something that's positive for the Lions. And I think it's when that offense is on the field. We've seen Daryl Bevel take this offense to a pretty good place so far. And we mentioned just how vulnerable this Chiefs defense is, especially in the run game. Ryan, do you think this is the week we finally see Kerryon Johnson break out?
It could be. If you take a look at Pro Football Focus's season grades, KC's run defense, 67.9 against Jacksonville, 55.8 against Oakland, and then 29.1 against the Ravens. Now, the Ravens, I mean, are kind of predicated on this ground attack that they have with, you know, Mark Ingram. Lamar Jackson's very mobile. Is there any reason, Ron, for us to believe that this could be the game where we get Kerryon Johnson? I know that Kerryon Johnson took to Twitter and made a little joke about how he keeps on facing like
eight man boxes.
Yeah, like he faces them at this like high, crazy like percentage. And I mean, do you think that the Chiefs are going to try to stifle up the Lions' run game? Do you see Kerryon Johnson potentially maybe having a game against the Lions or a game against the Chiefs?
You know, speaking of that 8-man box statistic, I could not imagine Spagnuolo would think it's a good idea to stack the box, especially with the two receivers you guys have in the matchup with our weak corners. So yeah, I definitely think Kerryon could have a big game. He's a talented back. I mean, I liked him coming out of college at Auburn, and he's shown the flashes and stuff, but like you said, you know, there's not much you can do when you're going against a loaded box. And yeah, hey, you mentioned the Chiefs' stats in the run defense. Has not been good, has not looked good. I mean, you know, no matter who we played, I mean, the Raiders tore us up pretty good in the run game as well. I definitely think Kerryon could have a big game, and I think that would just set up the pass for Marvin Jones and Kenny Golladay against these weak corners. If you want me to go into I think an uneven matchup in that aspect of the game.
Yeah, I mean, a quick raw statistic look. Jaguars, 81 rushing yards in the first week. Raiders put up 129 the second week, and then 203 from the Ravens in the third week. So definitely looks like it could be trending in the way for a good day for Kerryon Johnson on Sunday.
Yep, and as we mentioned, that seems like the smart route to go against Patrick Mahomes. Offense is to keep him off the field with your run game, and also if they do have weak corners, as Ron was saying, play action. We know that Matthew Stafford has been really good at this year, so if they can get some runs going, get the Chiefs defense to commit a little bit to that run, throw over the top, TJ Hockenson could have a big game, Marvin Jones could have a big game. Like you said, they have so many weapons on offense. I think this has the makings of a shootout. We might have a shootout on our hands, so let's jump in right now to our prediction segment, which we call the one thing we think we know, where we predict something. Doesn't have to be the score. Doesn't have to be the outcome, but just one thing we think we're going to happen. I've been terrible at this. I don't know if anyone's keeping track at home, but I've been terrible at this each week. So someone else has to go first because I'm bad at this. Who wants to go first?
I'm going to go first. And okay. I'll tell you why I'm going to go first.
Yeah.
Because I was right last week. I told you that the Lions and Eagles were going to hit the over, and they did.
Good job.
Thank you.
Ryan, excuse me.
Yeah, excuse you. So here's one thing that I think I know about this week, and I don't want to piggyback too much off of the last thing that we just talked about, but I think that this is a game where Kerryon Johnson crosses over that century or that 100 yard mark, if he rushes for 1,000 yards in this game, he's the greatest running back of all time. But if he crosses 100 yards, which is a mark that even Lions fans for so long were just waiting for their running back to cross over, it would go a long ways, I think, towards winning this football game. I think that if you see Kerryon Johnson rush for over 100 yards in this game, here's what I'm going to double down and say. If Kerryon Johnson runs for 100 yards or more in this football game, the Lions will win this football game.
Okay. So are you predicting both of those things will happen then?
I'm saying that they are contingent upon one another, and I am going to triple down and say that it does happen.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Whoa.
Woo. Wow. Okay. Oh, if you go two in a row this week, if you go back to back, half back to back to back, I'm going to be very impressed.
I'm done making predictions if I get this right. I'm moving to Vegas and I'm waiting for the
fire. Yeah.
All right, Ron, why don't you give us something that's going to make Lions fans sad now? You don't actually have to do that. Why don't you tell us the one thing you think you know about this matchup?
Please do it. Please ground us in reality.
Well, you know, it's too easy to say something about the offense at this point. It's pretty, you know, the offense is probably going to play well. I mean, I agree with you guys. I think it's going to be a shootout. But I have faith in the Chiefs, and my prediction for this week, you know, Tyrann Mathieu, he's been slowly but surely getting more involved, getting closer to the ball, looking like the honey badger of old. Some Chiefs fans have been a little upset at his play this season because he hasn't made any, you know, big plays. But
no.
Last week against Baltimore, he had two plays where it looked like he had an interception. They were hard picks. No, don't get me wrong, but he probably could have caught him. You could see by his reaction he should have. I'm predicting Tyrann Mathieu forces at least one turnover and makes a few big plays in the game. He looks like he's really coming into his own, really in the defense. You know, he's already a great player, but I think he's getting more and more comfortable with Spagnuolo's defense. And I think we're going to see a big game from him, a big impactful game, and I think he gets his first turnover forced of the year.
All right, I'll allow it. My one thing that I think I know is that TJ Hockenson is going to turn heads again finally after basically doing nothing the last 2 weeks. You look at the leading receivers in the last two games against the Chiefs, Nick Boyle from the Ravens, Darren Walker from the Raiders. I think it's TJ Hockenson this week. I think he crosses over 100 yards again, and people start talking about him in the Rookie of the Year race again. That's what I got. That's all we got. Now, before we go, I got to give Ron an opportunity to promote his stuff. Ron, where can the people find you? What sort of stuff do you guys have going on at Arrowhead Pride this week?
Yeah, so I'm on Twitter at Ron_Kopp, K-O-P-P. Twitter for Arrowhead Pride at Arrowhead Pride. If you want some perspective from the opponent this week, we're going to have plenty of stuff coming out, just previewing the game, looking at the matchups like we kind of just talked about today. I'm sure there will be some talk about the Lions receiving core against our cornerbacks. We didn't really touch on it too much, but I think that's going to be a pretty big mismatch, especially the way the cornerbacks played last week against a lot weaker receiving core in Baltimore. Kenny Galladay and Marvin Jones are beasts. So I'm not looking forward to that. But yeah, Arrowhead Pride, check us out. Thanks for having me, guys. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, Ron Kopp.
Yeah, and thanks, Ron.
Ryan, thank you for joining us again, as always, as most times.
Hey. It's firm but fair.
And thank you guys for all listening. And we will see you. Remember, our podcasts are now live on Twitch, twitch.tv/Pride of Detroit, Sunday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern. We'll have all your post-game coverage of this game. We'll have all your reactions. And then we got bye week next week, so you won't get a first bite. So you better savor this, listeners. I'm looking right at you right now, even though this is a visual medium. This is not a visual medium. You savor this, and we'll see you on Monday. On Sunday.
You adequate host.
Dang it! Good night, everybody. Or good morning.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.